Hello, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we analyze the fallout of the Roe v. Wade ruling. We won the policy and we won the argument, and then we celebrate a massive Supreme Court victory with Kelly Shackelford from First Liberty, firstliberty.org. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and you must come to our Student Action Summit, tpusa.com/SAS. That is tpusa.com/SAS. AS. 5,000 plus activists from all 50 states, top conservative personalities, a celebration of youth and freedom, and so much more. Turning Point Action will have Trump and DeSantis there, and then we'll have Kayleigh McEnany, Ted Cruz, Josh Hawley, Greg Gutfeld, and more. TPUSA.com/SAS. That is TPUSA.com/SAS. Tampa, Florida, everybody. You got to be there. Again, email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast and make sure you are subscribed by hitting the plus sign in the upper right hand corner. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Friday was one of the most, was a monumental victory for conservatives, for constitutionalists, for people that want to protect and preserve life. It was a massive victory. But we were so ready, we were bracing for impact that we were going to lose the narrative war and we were just going to have to take it. But remarkably, days later, now on Monday, they look like the zealots and the extremists. And we look as if we're the moderate and reasonable ones, because we are, by the way. They're the ones that are arguing irrationally and frenetically. They are the ones where they have tape after tape that is circulating on social media that shows that there's something deeper at play here than just an abortion debate. Now, it's important to reinforce the point. Roe versus Wade being overturned is a very moderate decision. The court did not take a position on the constitutionality of the practice of abortion, of which I do believe, for the preservation of life, that abortion should be unconstitutional. That is not the decision they made. They instead made a very technical judicial decision, of which I completely support and I'm very thankful for, where they said that the judicial activism that Roe versus Wade started and the judicial activism that they used was not a proper way of nationalizing or creating a new right that is not found in the Constitution through some sort of weird calisthenic interpretation of the 14th Amendment. Now, this would have happened earlier if it wasn't for Justice Kennedy in Planned Parenthood v. Casey in the early 1990s, making a very bizarre, abstract argument about how you could define your own existence and there really is no such thing as objective truth. One of the weirdest decisions ever issued. And it was a massive blow to the pro-life movement because they thought in the early 90s this would be a way to overturn Roe. This is a very moderate position. All four justices that wanted to uphold Roe, they're like, well, just because a decision is, you know, a decision gets forward, who are we to overturn it? Now, of course, that is an incredibly silly and immoral way to look at your role as a Supreme Court justice. Just look at the Dred Scott decision. The court was wrong, and then they reversed their decision later. The court allows for adjustments, improvements, and corrections. So here's just one example of how and why we are winning the narrative war. While those of us that are pro-life are thanking God, we're not rubbing it in people's face. We're saying it goes back down to the states. You can make your own decision. About 8 states now have completely outlawed abortion, which is amazing. This is how the other side is reacting. And this is not an isolated clip. They're posting these all over social media. Play cut 29.
Let it out. Let it out.
Now, that is one of many clips that I could play for you of TikTok videos, Twitter videos, and Facebook videos of people that are just losing their mind. Now, if you don't think this is a spiritual battle, I encourage you to rewatch that video. They look like the irrational ones because they are. There is no argument that is resonating right now with the reasonable, kind of more moderate middle in the country that they are offering. For example, Cut 10, Democrat Representative Katie Porter, back in May, you might remember, said the reason we need abortion is that it's too expensive to have children, that we should be able to terminate the little ones that are smaller than us and less developed than us because of inflation. Play Cut 10.
Things like inflation can happen and it can become more expensive to feed your kids and to fuel your car is exactly why people need to be able to be in charge of how many mouths they're going to have to feed.
So the argument that is being made is that because the cost of living is too much, that you should be able to terminate those that might, they might need a meal here and there. And it's not stopping there. We will get the tape here of Anna Navarro as well, who said we need abortion because of people with Down syndrome, because of people that have special needs, that it's hard to have people with special needs in your family, and we should just be able to get rid of them. You see, the left missed their opportunity. If I was pro-abortion, of which I am not, I would have given them much different advice. You see, the pro-abortion fanatics, they used to be able to resonate with people when they would talk about the 13 or 14-year-old young girl who has their whole life ahead of them. Those arguments can emotionally connect with people. I think that they're obviously morally flawed, but those arguments tend to resonate. Instead, you get arguments like this. You get arguments like Jessica Tarlov on Fox News saying that she finds it hard to believe that if one of Ted Cruz's daughters got pregnant because she was raped or if because an uncle got her pregnant, that he wouldn't do everything in his power to make sure that baby didn't come to term. Play Cut 11.
Protecting the life of the mother. Some of these states are going to have no exceptions for rape. To believe for the conservatives on TV, I saw Ted Cruz on earlier, you know, touting the ruling that if one of Ted Cruz's daughters got pregnant because she was raped or God forbid, a, you know, an uncle or someone got her pregnant, that he wouldn't do everything in his power to make sure that his daughter didn't have to carry that baby to term. The hypocrisy is beyond comprehension here. Republican women get pregnant too. And I'm not saying we can't have a conversation about 15 weeks or 20 weeks. I know a lot of people who are pro-choice have numbers like that, but
the more they talk, the more unreasonable they seem. And yet we continue as pro-lifers. We were very disciplined over the weekend. We talked about the need to be able to offer services and to offer help for people that are now having children come into the world, that we have a moral obligation as pro-lifers to offer all the resources available so that abortion is just unthinkable because people cite financial circumstances for abortion. And it's a remarkable thing because as we look back to Friday and the reversal of Roe versus Wade, I thought we were going to lose the narrative war. And the narrative industrial complex is collapsing. You see, they're so used to being able to talk about the same five or six things over and over again. But because of the social media age and because of the infrastructure the conservative movement has built and because of our very talented radio show hosts and podcast hosts and people like Tucker Carlson and our social media infrastructure that's been built on the right and, yes, the meme community, the left doesn't stand a chance. They just keep on writing the same things and people find it to be unpersuasive. And they're talking about eliminating people due to special needs. Children are too expensive, as Katie Porter would say. Or as Jessica Tarlov would be, you know, Ted Cruz isn't really pro-life because if his uncle or his brother impregnated his daughter, then what would he do then? Who seems to be the unreasonable ones? Being an entrepreneur and running a business are not for the faint of heart. There's a lot of stress when everything is on your shoulders. And if you're not careful, that stress can take the toll on your body, raising your blood pressure, making it hard to sleep, draining you of vital energy, and making you more irritable. I discovered magnesium, and it's amazing. It's a natural supplement. And do you know 75% of people are magnesium deficient? The number might be even higher among business owners and C-level professionals. That's because stress depletes magnesium levels. This can trigger a vicious cycle of rising stress and severe magnesium deficiency. This deficiency can lead to higher levels of anxiety, irritability, trouble sleeping, and low energy. It can even contribute to foot and leg cramps while you sleep. Now, you might be wondering, does magnesium really affect all these things? Well, the answer shortly is yes. In fact, magnesium is involved in more than 300 chemical processes inside your body. So a lot of different things can start to go wrong when you're deficient. The good news is that you can experience a number of positive health benefits from just getting enough magnesium, including better sleep, more energy, healthy blood pressure, less irritability, a calmer mood, stronger bones, reduced muscle cramping, and even fewer migraines. But to experience these health benefits, you have to get the right kinds of magnesium. Truth is, most magnesium supplements you'll find at health stores use only the two cheapest synthetic forms, and they're not full spectrum. And they won't fix your magnesium deficiency or to do much for your health. There are actually 7 unique forms of magnesium. You must get all of them if you want to experience its calming, stress-relieving effects. That's why I recommend Magnesium Breakthroughs by Bioptimizers. It's the only fully organic, full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress relief, better sleep, all in one bottle. Simply take 2 capsules before you go to bed, and you'll be amazed by the improvements in your mood or energy levels and how much more rested you'll feel when you wake up. For an exclusive offer for my listeners, go to magbreakthrough.com/Kirk or use Kirk10 during checkout to save 10% and get free shipping. Magbreakthrough.com/Kirk. Check it out right now. In the West, based on Judeo-Christian values and principles, we believe that the strong must protect the weak. The big must protect the small. We take this for granted. You see, in the 1920s and 1930s, there was a massive eugenics movement in America. It was led by people such as Margaret Sanger and many others. Eugenics basically comes from a Greek word, eu, which means good or well, and genics, obviously, which means genes grown into being from the beginning. It's a set of beliefs or practices that aim to improve the genetic quality of a specific human population. Now, America didn't just dabble in this. We went full-throated into it. We massively sterilized tens of thousands of women in the 1920s that we called idiot women. Oliver Wendell Holmes, Supreme Court Justice, wrote extensively about the moral need to sterilize women that IQ is too low. So eugenics is set on a belief of practices trying to kill or trying to get rid of people that are less than. Now, because of a religious revival in our country and an awakening, we decided this was wrong, inappropriate, and immoral at every single turn. We were trying to attack the Nazis, the National Socialist Workers Party, for doing eugenics, when in reality, the Nazis actually got some of their ideas of eugenics from Margaret Sanger and Oliver Wendell Holmes. You see, absent a Judeo-Christian moral construct where you believe that all people are image bearers, that you believe all people are worthy of protection and value, of infinite value, if you just think people are a clump of cells, then it's very tempting and it's very easy to want to use your power, your incumbent advantage, your size, your level of development, your environment, to then crush or eliminate those people that might you deem a parasite. You see, many of the pro-abortion fanatics will consider certain people to be parasites if they are in the womb. We believe that every life has value. Anna Navarro went on CNN, and she said that special needs families, it could be very expensive, and that we need abortion to be able to eliminate people that might have autism or Down syndrome. Play cut 31.
And I am not anybody to tell you what you need to do with your life or with your uterus. And because I have a family with a lot of special needs kids, I have a brother who's 57 and has the mental and motor skills of a one-year-old. And I know what that means financially, emotionally, physically for a family. And I know not all families can do it. And I have a step-granddaughter who was born with Down syndrome. And you know what? It is very difficult.
Yeah, it's very difficult. She goes on to say that she's a Catholic inside the church. It's impossible to be a practicing Catholic and to also say what she just said. You see, that only reinforces the argument that all of a sudden people are looking at us and say, wait a second, I might have been sympathetic to some allowances for abortion, but you're saying we should eliminate people just because they don't talk as fast as you? Well, this is not some sort of abstract argument. In Iceland, for example, they are systematically eradicating Down syndrome. They do what is called prenatal screening through blood tests, and they eliminate children if they have Down syndrome. You could read it at theatlantic.com. The last children of Down syndrome, theatlantic.com. Prenatal testing is changing who gets born and who doesn't. This is just the beginning. TheAtlantic.com. So here's a question. Are you going to do IQ screening? If someone's IQ isn't high enough, will you eliminate them? You see, the eugenics movement pushed forward by Margaret Sanger in The Pivot of Civilization. She wrote her thoughts that immigrants, the poor, all these people, very well, they called her, she called them human weeds. Reckless breeders, spawning human beings who never should have been born. She said, quote, I think the greatest sin in the world is bringing children into the world that have a disease from their parents, that have no chance in the world to be a human being practically. Delinquents, prisoners, all sorts of things just marked when they're born. That to me is the greatest sin that people can commit. This is Margaret Sanger, and Anna Navarro is paralleling that. Who is Margaret Sanger? Margaret Sanger is one of the founders of Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood, the very same abortion factory that is up in arms right now because of the reversal of Roe versus Wade. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? Producer Andrew's right here doing an Ironman thanks to Relief Factor. And truth is, I know there are millions of people. In fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise or just getting older. That can do it, getting older, which is why I'm so impressed with the people at ReliefFactor.com. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. They recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back pain, neck pain, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pain, then I'm suggesting you order their three-week quick start, still discounted only $19.95. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Check it out right now, ReliefFactor.com. You should order the three-week quick start too. Discount only $19.95 to see if it will work for you. I think it possibly could. Give your body what it needs to heal itself. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Check it out right now. With us right now is the great Andy Biggs, who I wish we had 500 Andy Biggs in Washington, D.C. Congressman Biggs, welcome back to the program.
Charlie, great to be with you. It's always good to be with you. Thanks for all you do.
Thank you very much. Thank you. So catch me up to speed here, Andy. So Arizona, prior to what happened last Friday, the reversal Roe versus Wade, from my understanding correctly, they never actually got rid of their previous abortion ban. Where does Arizona stand on all of this? Because it doesn't seem as if they're kind of in the list of states that will soon outlaw abortion.
Well, Charlie, from statehood, the statute has been on the books that no abortion is allowed except for in the case to protect the life of the mother. So that has never been rescinded. So that is the current state of the law. There was another law that they kicked around, and I'm not sure it got passed, but it dealt with rape and incest as well. But I don't know that ever was passed into law. So the current state of the law is, unless you're protecting the life of the mother, you cannot do an abortion in Arizona.
And so is that now being enforced? That's the question. I mean, there are Planned Parenthood clinics in Arizona. Are they closing? Who's actually kind of putting the pressure on to make sure this law gets enforced?
Well, that's going to have to come from Governor Ducey's office and the Department of Public Safety and the state attorney general. All have to go in and start enforcing that law. And I think I don't know why this might have caught anybody off guard, but it happened so quickly. I was expecting the decision this week. In fact, I thought it was going to come out today, but it came a little bit earlier. But the AG has got to basically be the one who goes in and prosecutes. And I don't know if they're set up to do it just yet.
You know, it was interesting. I spent some time in Scottsdale and Paradise Valley, and there were some very upset people. And they said, you know what? I moved here to Arizona, and I'm going to move back to California because abortion is illegal. I said, perfect. It's already working. For no other reason to get these Californians out of Arizona, it's kind of just like a self-deportation thing. You can go back to Sacramento. You can go back to San Francisco. Perfectly fine with me. So actually, breaking right now, Planned Parenthood of Arizona says it's putting all abortion services on hold until there's a clear idea of the legal landscape in Arizona. So that's Planned Parenthood right now that has put that forward. So I want to ask you, from your perspective in Washington, D.C., it seems as if the Democrats are continuing on this January 6th committee. You wrote a whole article on this. Do you think that's really what your constituents want? Is that what voters are demanding right now?
No, that is so far down the list. No one's even paying attention. And I have to tell you, my voters in Arizona, and I've looked at multiple polls, not just ones that I've run, but others have run. And the top two issues, and they're almost neck and neck, are the inflation and economy. That's right there with border security. And actually, most of the time, border security is on top. But they're both very close, and they both have tremendous impact on Arizona. And you know, Charlie, that Arizona, particularly the Phoenix metro area, has effectively the highest inflation rate in the country.
Yes, that's right.
And it's incredible. And I go to fill up my tank with gas, and it's like $5.69, $5.70 tank. And that's outrageous. Outrageous.
And it's not just that, but it's the price of housing, groceries, everything in Phoenix is up. Why has Phoenix kind of become the worst for inflation? What do you think the reason for that is?
A couple reasons. First of all, we don't have the access to enough pipelines and enough flow from California and Texas of gas into the country. So that's going to just naturally deal with the technical side of things. But then when you move to the classical definition, we've got the currency is devalued. We've got so much growth here, and it's really red hot. You know it. The price of housing was already going way up ridiculously high. And then when Biden came in and they caused the supply chain problems, then they supplied all these people incentives to stay home, and they've not come back to work yet, even though you have an artificially reported low unemployment rate. So there's all these jobs that are open in Arizona and throughout the country. But the bottom line is this. When you devalue your currency and then at the same time you create these scarcities like in energy, then you're going to have massive amounts of pressure. And Arizona doesn't have a relief valve because we don't have a refinery. We don't have the adequate pipelines on the energy side. And then we're just growing like all your friends that need to move back to California now, they've all moved here for jobs because the companies have come here because we've got this tremendous job environment, low taxes, low regulatory environment, great infrastructure. And so it's driving all these prices up as well.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's not just Phoenix, but it's also happening in Atlanta. It's happening in many other areas. But Phoenix is by far the worst. We're certainly feeling it here. Yeah. So let's talk about this week. Over the weekend, there were these Arizona Capitol riots. So kind of the great irony is that we have a whole committee that is supposed to go look into insurrection. And it looked as if there was almost an attempted insurrection over the weekend. Was there not?
There was, both in Washington, D.C. And that insurrection has been going on. First of all, in Washington, D.C., when you're trying to intimidate Supreme Court justices to change their view, yet also have somebody that leaked the report, that's an insurrection in the classical definition. And then you saw what happened at the state capitol in Arizona and Phoenix, all these people trying to get in and interrupt and cause mayhem and riot and the criminal damage they did. I thought I thought Senator Kelly Townsend sent a prescient Twitter that I read at the time that said, you know, where's the J-24? I think I can't remember how she phrased it, but where's the J-24 commission? And that's, you know, that was as insurrectionist as anything else you'll see, this yes. rioting. And we have to face that, Charlie. That's what the left does. You and I, well, you weren't around, but when I was there with the conservative movement and the pro-life movement, we didn't say we're going to burn down the Supreme Court. We didn't say it's irrelevant. We want to pack the Supreme Court. We didn't say it's illegitimate. We said we have, you know, we're going to have to work this thing through and try to make this right. But the other side, they immediately go to violence. And we've seen that particularly in the last 12 years.
Yeah. And that they say that you're not supposed to do any of this. Obviously, we agree, but yet they do it themselves. So let's go to cut 16, video of when the session inside the Arizona State Capitol was disrupted because of the pro-abortion rioters outside trying to break in. Play cut 16.
Please listen. We are going to recess. We're going into recess right now, okay? We have a security problem outside. Members, please go to... Please go... Stop. We're recessed.
Wait a second. So rioters actually interrupted the official proceeding of Arizona State business? Is that right, Andy?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Now, those people you heard yelling in there, those were teachers who were taking advantage of the situation because the historic vote that they were about to take was to grant essentially educational scholarship accounts to all 1.1 million kids in Arizona, students in Arizona. And so when she announces there's security problem, there's a riot problem, they start chanting. But yes, they were trying to break up an official session of the Arizona State Senate. And, you know, I mean, we use the term insurrection loosely. It was certainly a riot. But if we have a new definition of insurrection, which I'm hearing about all the time in Washington, D.C., then this was about as close as you could come.
Cut 15, footage from inside the Arizona State Capitol of pro-abortion protesters trying to break in. Play cut 15. You know, after all of the kind of rancor that they put towards January 6th, that's what they then do, is they try to then bust down the doors of the Arizona State Capitol. Your thoughts, Andy, as we close?
Yeah, absolutely right. And this is, it's unbelievable, this behavior that comes from the left. Every time they move to violence immediately, every time. I got a kick out of Babylon Bee. They did a headline that said the January 6th committee recesses so they could encourage insurrection throughout the country. And that's really what you've seen from the left, from Pelosi, Schumer, AOC, Elizabeth Warren. And you know what? They're actually calling for action. And so maybe they should be held accountable.
Yeah, very good. Congressman Biggs, thank you so much from the great state of Arizona. We got to take it Thanks, back.
Charlie.
We got to win the Senate race and keep the governor's mansion red. It's super important. Thank you.
Amen, brother.
God
Amen,
bless you.
Amen, brother.
Thank you.
Thanks.
As we wait for Kelly Shackelford, we will go to a tape here of Lori Lightfoot having some choice words for Clarence Thomas. Play cut 3.
If you read Clarence Thomas' concurrence, he said, thank you, Clarence Thomas.
Oh, you, Clarence Thomas.
As Lori Lightfoot on Clarence Thomas. Meanwhile, just over the weekend, let's see, 7 killed and 34 wounded over the weekend in Chicago. In just June, 56 people shot and killed in Chicago, 268 shot and wounded, 324 shot and 61 total homicides. But Lori Lightfoot, the lesbian black mayor of Chicago, is screaming at Clarence Thomas, saying, whatever. F. Clarence Thomas is what she said. With us is Kelly Shackelford. Congratulations on the massive victory in front of the Supreme Court.
Thanks, Charlie. It was a great day. Great opinion. Doing a bunch of interviews with Coach Kennedy. You'll probably see some tonight, Hannity, and some other stuff. It's just been a great celebration.
Yeah, so tell us about the case. So just everyone knows, firstliberty.org just won in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. Coach Kennedy, we've talked about this on the program before, but essentially he wanted the opportunity to pray for 15 or 20 seconds, I think, after the game to be able to honor God and thank God for his ability to coach his teammate, his players. The school district didn't like that, and now it's all up to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court wrote what?
6-3, that violates the First Amendment. They violated his right to free speech, his right to the free exercise of his religion. And saying that some student or some spectator might see him from 100 yards away meant that they should squelch and really take away his First Amendment rights is no excuse. And so a really strong opinion in favor of the First Amendment, in favor of Coach Kennedy. In fact, this is going to be something that affects every teacher, every coach. They don't have to run away from who they are. In this country, neither teachers nor students relinquish their First Amendment rights at the schoolhouse gate. They said he didn't coerce anyone, which was always true. There was the facts were in. They were very clear. And he has a right to go down after the game when everybody's milling around and checking their cell phones and calling and checking dinner reservations. The idea that he couldn't go to a knee and pray to thank God for the privilege of coaching those young men that he coaches, it really was outrageous. But for 6 years, Charlie, he lost every step of the way. And so it was today is our first victory in 6 years. And it's not only a victory for him, it's a major precedent that is going to be big because it took a bad case that was passed about 50 years ago and they threw it out. And it's what's been causing a lot of this hostility to religion in our schools for the last 50 years. And that's going to be gone from now. And we're going to go with believing in the First Amendment.
What are the implications then of this?
Big, because there's a case called Lemon. It's aptly named. It's a lemon. It's a horrible case. And it kind of makes the government almost root around and try to find religion and say, well, it can't happen here. And that's not what the First Amendment says. We don't want the government to coerce anyone with regard to their religion or establish a national religion. But we also believe in the free exercise rights of every citizen and the free speech rights of every citizen. So the idea that you would remove religion is not what the founders were for. And that's not teaching kids the right thing in school. And so now everybody's going to have their constitutional rights. We've got a court who believes in originalism, which is what is the original meaning of the text? And they're taking us back to these founding principles that our country is built on. So God bless Justice Gorsuch and God bless Donald Trump for putting these great justices.
That's exactly right. Without Trump, none of these victories would be, it would be a 6-3 Hillary Clinton court. It would be Alito and it would be actually it would be Thomas. Probably 7-2. Yeah, it'd be Alito and Thomas. And I don't think Roberts would be with them.
He was
right?
On the right side here, but who knows, right? Yeah. If he didn't have the majority.
Remember, Roberts is always there when you don't need him. Kelly, God bless you. Firstliberty.org. Great job. Great victory. Wish we had more time. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.